is Paul McGuire, and you're now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Before we begin today's program, I want to ask you to go to the social media page or the social media app that you're using to listen to this program. And please, if you're a listener of this program and you like the program, then join it at your social media page. You can do that right now. Just go to the social media page and press the join button or follow button or whatever selection your particular app offers you. Also, be sure to go to paulmcguire.us and make sure you join up for the Paul McGuire Prophecy Report e-blast. That is only sent out to people that are on the list. Doing those things will help us expand our message and also make sure that you are able to still get the content of what we offer. Like today's program, we're going to discuss the civilizational event. And that is a monumental transformation for mankind, and we are living in that time period. Okay, we'll be back in just a second. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I was listening to these secular analysts discuss what they termed, and a growing number of experts, secular experts, they're calling everything that's happening on planet Earth, everything that's happening to mankind, both in the EU, America, and the rest of the world, they are saying that what we are facing right now in human history is nothing less than a civilizational event. Now, a civilizational event is an event where mankind is literally at the crossroads, where human history and human civilization is at the crossroads, and you and I will determine, along with millions of other people on planet Earth, you and I will determine to a large degree what direction America will go in, the EU will go in, or whatever nation you happen to live in. Because what is being placed on the table before us really is nothing less than a civilizational event. And they talked about many changes happening in America and the EU and across the world. And one of the changes they mentioned is something that I talk about a great deal, and that is the impact of globalism, or we could say the impact of the Great Reset, especially in the last number of years, let's say the last 6 to 10 years specifically, although globalism, of course, goes way, way back. And even earlier in America's history, there were the origins of globalism. But in the last 6 to 10 years, there's been an acceleration of the interests of a very secretive but very powerful globalist elite. And all the promises that the globalists have made to us, and I immediately think about all these American presidents and American politicians who openly lied to us, and the mass media, the mainstream media, that openly lied to us, the American people. They lied to us regarding the so-called benefits of globalism, the so-called benefits of enacting these trade treaties. I remember writing about this and warning about this decades ago. And I focused intensely on specifically the trade treaties and how the trade treaties would bring an economic drain to America, that it would negatively impact America and especially negatively impact what we could call the working class, the middle class, the ordinary American. And yet I remember as clear as just yesterday. In fact, I'll name the politician, Newt Gingrich. And I can see him in my memory, and I can see President Bush and President Clinton and so many others coming before us on national television and extolling the virtues of all these trade treaties that they intended to pass and telling us, looking us, the common, ordinary American, looking at us in the eye and telling us that these trade treaties were essential if we were going to be competitive in the global market. And they told us the only way that we can continue to be competitive, that Americans can continue to earn decent wages and income, et cetera, et cetera. The only way we could continue to do this would be to get on this globalist bandwagon and pass all these trade treaties. And you remember, I wrote a great deal about it in my book. You can still get it. Are You Ready? The North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, the World Trade Organization, WTO, a UN trade organization. And they promised us that by shipping our manufacturing overseas, we would remain competitive in the global markets, and this would be the way we could ensure a level of economic prosperity. Well, you know what happened. Those of you that remember hearing them lie, like I do, you know what happened. Everything they said was a lie. They lied from top to bottom. They lied through and through. They lied totally. They looked us right in the face, fake smiles, fake twinkles in the eye. They looked at us right in the face, and they knew full well, either that or they were clinically morons, they knew full well that what they were telling us would harm us, and they were signing these deals, these globalist deals and trade treaties. They were signing these deals away like crazy to make sure that they got wealthy off these deals and that the globalist elite, the super wealthy, that all of those people got really, really rich and richer off these deals. So they knew that these deals, these globalist deals, would be of a tremendous benefit to the select elite group, but it would cause a tremendous amount of harm to everyday Americans. But they didn't care. They sold us down the river. And we still have a huge percentage of Americans today who have no clue as to what happened and why things are happening the way they're happening now. They're totally clueless because they never bother to get information unless it's the official propaganda information that comes from the mainstream media, which is totally owned, dominated, and controlled by the globalist elite. Your average American is dumbed down. They don't think for themselves. They know nothing about history. They don't ever verify and check up on the lies they're being told. So I talked a great deal about this in my book, Are You Ready? And I've continued to talk about it in my current books, like The Greatest Battle and Power from On High. And today, when I was listening to this conversation from these analysts talking about the level, this global event, which essentially is a global choice as to whether or not we march down the road to globalism, the globalist vision, which essentially means oblivion of freedom, oblivion of prosperity, oblivion of hope, oblivion, period. Globalism means oblivion, death and destruction to the working class and the middle class. It means the party's over, whatever was left of the party. And so now that we're faced, not only here, but in Europe, the EU, America, and other places, you're seeing all over the world right now, especially in the EU, a backlash movement, a backlash against the lies of the globalists, because the people in the European Union nations have been hurt and crippled by these globalist policies. And so now there's a movement to elect politicians that have policies that are nationalist, and not nationalist necessarily in the sense of the propaganda term, you know, nationalism equals Nazism. I'm not talking about that. There's a moderate kind of nationalism, which is relatively healthy, And then, of course, there's a radical ultra-nationalism, which is, yeah, Nazi-like. But the same is played out in globalism. There's a certain healthy amount of globalism, but then you easily can go down the sliding slope to a communist or Marxist dictatorial digital dictatorship globalism. Either way, you're marching towards oblivion. So the key is you've got to know the basic precepts of what's happening and why. And when you open that door to your understanding, you acquire knowledge. And when you acquire real knowledge, which is knowledge that is truthful, you acquire power. Power flows from knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, you don't have power. If you don't have power, I guarantee you, on the basis of historical fact, I guarantee you, if you don't have power, it won't be long until you're a slave. And then, as the historical progression always goes, after you are a slave, you are dominated, killed, and destroyed. That is the inevitable historical process of what happens when you refuse knowledge. Read the book of Proverbs. The Christian church and the Christian people in America, they don't even understand that their heads are in the chopping block. They don't get it. They live in a world of total fantasy. And that world of total fantasy, the only reason you would be able to live in a world of total fantasy is because somewhere along the line, you made the choice to reject knowledge, which gives you the power. And so you're becoming a slave. And the next stop after slavery is death, one way or the other. And you live under a digital tyranny. And that's the end of it. And, I hate to break it to you, but you've got to inhale, exhale, and like get your brain to wake up and recognize what's really happening all around you. And most of all, recognize that God did not put you here for such a time as this for you to live inside of your personal escapist daydream. You're here for a reason, like I'm here for a reason. And there is none of us, absolutely none of us, that has not been given by God some degree of availability or power or platform or whatever you want to call it to affect positive changes based on the kingdom of God, to input positive changes into our society while there's still time. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is the Paul McGuire Report. So the game plan that is sponsored by the elite is primarily an agenda, a globalist agenda that they now call the Great Reset. But the Great Reset and the globalist agenda, the working class and the middle class and the ordinary people of America and the ordinary people in the European Union nations and other nations around the world, they have tasted the bitterness of drinking from the polluted well of globalism. They've been ripped off. Their incomes have crashed. Their retirement has been damaged. Their job options have been damaged. Their nations have been flooded in some cases. I'm not saying every migrant is bad or evil. I'm not saying that. But there are a significant percentage of people, especially in Europe, they have been invaded by a large contingent of people, of radicals from militant Islamic nations. And so across the European nations, European women are getting raped. I mean, all the time. It's an epidemic. Churches are burned to the ground. There's open hostility and gangs and groups of men from Middle Eastern radical groups and nations in all these European countries that are attacking and eroding these countries from within. And this is a direct result of the globalist agenda, which deliberately wanted to open the borders of all those nations. We have the same thing here in the United States. Again, I'm not saying everybody that comes into America is bad or evil, but there is a significant percentage of those people who are from that segment of militant Islam and who want to see America destroyed as they're simultaneously moving into America. You have radical communists and Marxists coming into the nation who want to destroy America. Let's not be naive. The cartels, the drug cartels, are largely in charge of our borders by deliberate design. So people are being snuck across the border all the time for human sex trafficking, for drugs. And then you have the increase of reports coming out about the disturbingly high number, large numbers of military age males coming across the border from nations which are hostile to the United States, like communist China and certain Middle Eastern Islamic nations that are radical and hate America. So you have our borders open to a increasingly and very disturbingly large number of military age males coming in from nations that are either militant communist Marxist nations and they hate America and want to destroy America, or militant Islamic nations where the ideology, again, is to destroy America. Now, the obvious question, this is happening all across Europe. It's happening in the United States. The American people have been complaining about this for decades, and nobody does anything about it. And anybody who tries to do something about it is opposed by the establishment and opposed by the media. But the problem continues. So this problem, all across the world, especially in the EU nations and especially in America, has created a backlash against globalism. And this backlash is a movement of a certain amount of politicians and people that embrace nationalism instead of globalism. Now, I want to be very specific about the term nationalism. I am not talking about some kind of Nazi-esque nationalism. That is usually comes about, that misunderstanding has been inserted into the American consciousness to confuse people. I'm not talking about that. You'd have to be out of your mind to want Nazi-style nationalism. Not all Nazi-style nationalism is it's communism with some modifications. So the Nazi nationalism, which is what Adolf Hitler was all about, and the Nazis, the Nazi nationalism brought to us by the Nazis is a combination of communism with modifications. So it's called nationalism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of nationalism that is in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, the kind of nationalism that made America great and safe and permitted Judeo-Christian values and love of God, love of country, love your neighbor as yourself, and so on and so forth. The American dream didn't come about because of globalism, which would have been communism, or the precepts of the Illuminati, because the Illuminati is the originator of both Nazi nationalism and globalism. The people behind the Illuminati created the French Revolution. The French Revolution waged war on Christians in the church in France. The French Revolution beheaded in the guillotines. They chopped the heads off 20,000 clergymen in the streets of Paris. I stood on the exact spot where the lineup of guillotines began. And the line of guillotines, ironically, if you walk down the area where all the guillotines were placed, which I did, But being that I understand and can recognize symbols, especially occult symbols, as I walked all the way down where the rows of guillotines were in the streets of Paris, I came to a statue which had this uplifted and large pyramid with, of course, the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. Now, that is a symbol, by the way, of the Illuminati. So as one proof, and there's, you know, millions of historical proofs, but the fact that there's a statue, a monument to the Illuminati that is placed deliberately on the exact same grounds that the guillotines that chopped off the heads of Christian clergymen during the French Revolution. Look, that is not an accidental placement of the guillotines, which chopped off the heads of the clergymen in the French Revolution, and this Illuminati pyramid statue with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. The positioning of that symbolic Illuminati statue pyramid in juxtaposition with the placement of where the guillotines were, which chopped off over 20,000 heads of Christian ministers, that's not an accident. That's telling you loud and clear that the French Revolution was not this benevolent forerunner of a utopian world. That is the same old Luciferian lie that has been told to mankind since the beginning of time, beginning in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent of old first lied to Eve and she lied to Adam, and they lost paradise. But Lucifer has approached mankind over and over again with these lying promises of paradise under different names. And every single time man rejects the word of God, and the reason we're in the deep, you know what, that we're in America right now and the rest of the world, is because mankind, once again, even Christians and so-called Bible-believing Jews, have rejected the word of God and followed the lies and spiritual deception of Luciferianism or the Illuminati doctrines. And that's what's behind globalism. That's also what was behind Adolf Hitler's Nazi nationalism. So you have a danger coming from what appears to be two different directions. But when you study the topic at a deeper level, you discover that the Nazis were hardcore Satanists like the Illuminati, and that the Third Reich, the Nazi Reich, led by Adolf Hitler, and even his highest level generals thought he was demon-possessed. They were Satanists, just like the heads of the Illuminati. So what's happening, we're seeing a repeat of this historical spiritual cycle that began with the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And so the stakes on the table are so massive right now as to which direction should mankind go in, that there's a kind of collective consciousness across the world, consisting of the European nations, consisting of Americans and people from other nations, that have firsthand, in the last number of decades, have experienced the severe betrayal and the lies told to them by the globalist utopian liars who promised them, once again, utopia or paradise on earth or heaven on earth if they followed this United Nations, one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, great reset, lying signs and wonders dream. And so there's a backlash in Europe. In all these European elections that keep coming up, there's this continual wave of leftist, globalist, communist, Marxist, traditional candidates across Europe losing in the elections to conservative, nationalists, moderate nationalists, and in some cases, radical nationalists, as part of a backlash against what the globalists did in destroying all these Western nations, because the Western nations have been intentionally been destroyed. So the New World Order crowd, and they keep changing the name of the New World Order, so the New World Order crowd could sneak in their global digital dictatorship. And so people are waking up to that. They're waking up to it in America. Slowly but surely, finally, you see a crack in the giant walls of ice. People are starting to see through the grotesque deception and lies that they're being told. You name the subject. You know, you take any major subject in today's society, and the lies that are being pumped out by these giant globalist corporations and giant globalist institutions constantly lying to the people so that they can eventually enslave the people. And so there's a reaction, and some of the reaction is good and healthy. Some of it potentially could be dangerous. The key is you have to have knowledge. If you have knowledge, discernment is no big deal. You know, I am continually stunned at how Christians will follow and blindly follow some leader, whether a spiritual leader or a political leader or whatever, how Christians will blindly follow people and exercise no spiritual discernment whatsoever. I mean, it should be obvious in many of the cases that the particular individual, both male or female, that they're following is an enemy of the Word of God and is in partnership with the lies of this world system. I mean, you can see it in their eyes, and that's not enough to make a final judgment, but it's a good starter. And if you have the Spirit of God inside you, the Holy Spirit, God put the Spirit of God inside of you, and the Word of God He gave to you as a resource so that you could properly discern the difference between good and evil. And that means also discern between good and evil people. And so we need to do that. We need to, you know, verify. Newt Gingrich, you know, I remember watching him and being so impressed by his grasp of history and his intellect. I should have known better when he started talking about the third way and promoting the writings of Alvin and Heidi Toffler, who authored Future Shock. And then one of their other big books was The Third Way. The Third Way is a clever marketing scheme and political scheme where the people are deceived into thinking the third way is some kind of valid third choice or third possibility. In other words, what the third way is, it's not really a third way at all. What it really is, it's a synthesis. It's a blend of communism, Marxism, and nationalism. So you blend nationalism, communism, Marxism, humanism, with maybe, if you're lucky, a sprinkle of Christianity. And you mix it all together, and then you call it the third way. Well, the third way is just a cover word for globalism, for humanistic globalism and a one-world system. And by one-world system, I'm talking about the proverbial biblical warning of a one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system that originated in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. And it's God warns us of that evil system, which is rising now. God warned us of that evil system way back in ancient Babylon, known as Mystery Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, with the pyramid-shaped Tower of Babel. And God warned us about it in the book of Revelation, when the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet come together and they force the world to accept some kind of nanochip, biochip, DNA chip implant where you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That is the return of ancient Babylon. That is the same New World Order that had its trial run in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. So Gingrich, you know, a brilliant man in many respects, but flawed and to whatever degree, deceived. And I won't even get into the others, because the others, the deception is so hardcore when you look at the details of their life and their lineage, when you look at those details, it is so obvious the evil that lurks in the darkness, the evil that hides itself under a mask of piety, compassion, and concern. But like all masks, these masks are designed to deceive the gullible. And who are the gullible? The gullible are those people who lack spiritual discernment. The gullible are those people that lack the ability to discern between good and evil because they have rejected biblical knowledge. And when you reject knowledge, you are deprived of access to power. And power, God gives his people power, both intellectually and every other realm. God gives his people power to the degree that they're willing to abide by biblical knowledge. Read the book of Proverbs. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessings and the curses. America was built on those principles. Now, this takeover of the world, and that's what's really going on right now, it's nothing less but a takeover of the world. The takeover of the world first requires the death and destruction of America, and you're looking at it right now. And so ask yourself the question, why would God call and place so many born-again Christians in America and around the world who have a knowledge of the Word of God, some knowledge, hopefully? Why would God put millions and millions of Christians in America in the time of the greatest conflict, the greatest struggles and choices that mankind has ever faced? Why would God have inserted millions and millions of his people into this spiritual battlefield unless he had a specific intention, plan, and purpose for them? And that doesn't include doing nothing or fatalism. Fatalism is an inexcusable sin. And fatalism is really an embodiment of a sin, the number one sin listed in a order of sins in the book of Revelation is cowardice. Cowardice is when you give in to fear. And when you're a coward, you're fatalistic. You do nothing. You try to lay low. That's a sin. It doesn't matter whether the Christian church preaches it or not. The Word of God preaches it. That's good enough. And so God is expecting his people to repent of their sins so that he can send revival and use his people in this time period that we're in. That's what it's all about. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is the Paul McGuire Report. So analysts and scholars, a growing number of them, I'm talking about secular ones, they are recognizing the magnitude of the changes and the decisions facing mankind. And they're calling this a civilizational event, that the human race has arrived at a civilizational event where the choices and the paths that we walk down will dramatically affect all of human civilization, good or bad. So that's where we are. Now, it's a mistake to allow yourself to be mentally or emotionally overwhelmed by a term like that. All you have to do is break it down into bite-sized pieces. And when you break down a term like a civilizational event into bite-sized pieces, it's manageable. You can handle it. So every one of us, there's no way that there are literally countless millions of born-again Christians in America. I don't know the depth of their biblical knowledge. I could guess at it and probably be pretty accurate. But there's no way God would have preordained or pre-planned for there to be so many of his children alive in America in a time period where the signs of the times are exploding all around us and where things like a civilizational event are being discussed even by secular analysts. So what you have to understand is that every one of us have been called by God for such a time as this. Every one of us has some degree of influence, ability to pray, option to minister. Every one of us, without exception, can do something. And we can't make the mistake, which is common for people to make, we can't make the mistake of attempting to quantify what we do by the traditional parameters or the traditional boundaries set by a non-believing humanistic and secular world. By that, I mean terms or thoughts like, are we doing a lot or are we doing a little, or this is big and that is small. That is not God's highest priority. God does not look at reality in those confining terms. The question God asks his people is this. He doesn't ask it. His questions aren't based on how big a ministry do you have? How many people have you reached for Jesus? And so on and so forth. The question God asks all of us is not how big or small something is, or ministry is, or your influence is, or whatever. What God asks is simply, are you being faithful? Are you being faithful, whatever I have given you to do? And God only holds you responsible for the level of access you have, the platform you have, and God only holds you accountable to be accountable based on faithfulness. And what each of us should desire and aspire is that when we get to heaven and we meet Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face in heaven, we want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The key word is faithful. We want to be faithful servants. So it's not a matter of, well, I don't have the power to influence a civilizational event. Yes, you do. You can do whatever God has allowed you or permitted you to do at whatever level of platform the Lord has given you. But praying about key things and key events and key leaders and our nation, everyone can pray, but I guarantee you that most Christians are probably not praying in the areas that are critical to their future, their children's future, and to God's ultimate end times program, which is the saving of souls. We're not supposed to be afraid of things that, look, there's none of us. We're not like, you know, the statue of the Greek god Atlas, who's vainly attempting to hold up the world. None of us were constructed by God with the power or ability to hold up the world on our shoulders, like that statue of Atlas. And Ayn Rand, the humanist author, wrote her famous novel, Atlas Shrugged. No, we haven't been given that power, so we're not accountable for something we can never possibly have. But we can certainly partner together with other believers in Jesus Christ and utilize the power we have been given to whatever degree we have that power, such as the power of prayer. And never, for example, never ever underestimate the ultimate infinite power of prayer. One person's prayers can change the direction of a nation. And I personally think that a certain percentage of true believers who are praying to the true God, Jesus Christ, when they come together as one in the name of Jesus, they have the power to change within the parameters of God's will and God's word. They have the parameters to change the direction of what is called a human civilizational event. Well, a lot of people, when I say something like that, you know, it's like a sonic boom just went off in their ears, and they're stunned, and it ricochets in their consciousness because they can't bring themselves to believe that's possible. Well, if you can't bring yourself to believe that that's possible, then you're not rightly dividing the Word of God, because the Word of God says what? All things are possible. God doesn't contradict himself. All things are possible. So a dedicated number of believers, how many, that's up to God, I don't know how many, a dedicated number of believers praying together in the name of Jesus Christ and praying biblically, they are given the infinite and enormous power of civilization-changing prayer. So if you ask the question, well, what can I do about it? And you're tempted to be downcast and dismayed, you need to repent of the downcast thing and the dismayed thing. That's not an appropriate biblical response. Neither is trying to be like an atlas holding up the world on your shoulders. That's like out of balance also. But you can do what God has given you to do, and you can be faithful with whatever it is that God has given you to do. That includes your time, your resources, your opportunities, and your willingness to believe God at His word, and your willingness to do whatever it is that God is calling you to do. And let me tell you something. You would not be alive at this moment if God did not call you to be doing something or some things. Bad English, but I think you know what I mean. So even though we're at a civilizational event and entire continents and nations are being shaken, and we see in the EU the threat of a World War III, especially in this potential conflict between the EU and Russia and the Ukraine, and the conflict between Israel and some of its militant Islamic neighbors. These are civilizational events, but they've also been prophesied throughout the Bible, not only by Jesus Christ in the signs of the times, but the prophet Daniel talked about the revived Roman Empire. Well, the revived Roman Empire could easily be the European Union or EU nations. America, which is not specifically mentioned in the Bible, could well be among the revived Roman Empire nations, but its name, its title, may be in the future submerged into an all-encompassing globalist or nationalist title, eventually under the government of the Antichrist. But let's not borrow trouble before it begins. Let's be faithful for the time period that we're in. And God rewards faithfulness. God does not reward unfaithfulness. So we have been given an assignment, and that assignment is to follow the word of God and to obey Him. I sent out a letter to all of our partners this month where I talk about the absolute necessity in light of a civilizational event for us to walk on the stage of human history and imagine going to see some theatrical production, and you go into the large room of the theater, and you're seated, and you're looking up on the stage, and you're expecting to see the beginning of a play, and you're expecting that the actors and actresses are going to soon walk upon the stage. But uncomfortably, as time goes by, the stage remains empty because nobody's walking on the stage. For whatever reason, the actors and actresses that are supposed to be walking on the stage are not on the stage. And that's weird. Well, that can be compared to the proper expectation that Christians should be walking on the stage of human history, each one of us playing our various part or roles based on His word and His calling. And then something would be amiss, obviously. Something would be out of balance, obviously, if you were expecting, rightly so, that God's people would be assuming their proper roles upon the stage of human history, and they never show up. So what is with that? How could you not show up? What was the whole point of building the theater, installing the seats? What was the whole point of training the actors and actresses? What was the whole point of having people come out to the play or sports event or whatever event you want to imagine? What's the whole point if the football players don't show up for the game? Or if the actors and actresses don't show up for the play, then what is the point of being there? Well, there is no point. And that can't happen because God did not create a pointless existence for anyone. And He specifically did not appoint a pointless existence for His people. You are supposed to be authentically acting out, based on his script, the Word of God, your part in this great cosmic play we inadequately could call reality. And we're at the timetable in this play that we call reality, that the Bible refers to as the end of the age. We have a role to play, a biblical role. We have the call of God on us, and we're supposed to be being faithful to that call. So it's critical that we understand that we're facing a civilizational event as clearly or more clearly than people who are non-believing secular analysts. I mean, if they understand it and they get it, don't you think it should be mandatory that God's people get what's really going on that's right in front of their eyes? I go back to the discussions on globalism and the lies of globalism. What is the root of globalism? Well, the root of globalism is nothing more than an extension of the same old Luciferian lie that began with the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Globalism is the same Luciferian lie that began in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, where the first New World Order and one world system was created, and then it was passed along from super civilization to super civilization. So, communism, socialism, Marxism, humanism, transhumanism, all of these, if you notice, including communism and Marxism and Nazi nationalism, all of these things have one horrific thing in common. They all elevate man or woman up into the position of being a god, which is a lie. And that is the root deception by which all the other deceptions erupt with force in our world right now. The root deception that is being sown into the hearts and minds of your children and society all across the world, the root deception of the Huxleys and the transhumanists and artificial intelligence and virtual reality and everything that goes along with globalism and transhumanism and artificial intelligence, the root deception is this: that man can be as a god. That is the exact precise temptation and sinful choice that was offered to Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden by the serpent of old. He lied to them like he lies today through the Illuminati or the Rosicrucians or whatever occult society you want to name. He lies today as he did in the Garden of Eden, and he told via a lie first Eve, and she convinced Adam, that it was perfectly fine for them to disobey God's word and to go ahead and eat from the fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden. Now, that was the only thing that God, in his word to them, he made it unlawful. He told them they will be cursed if they were to eat from the fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden. And so, the nanosecond they began to eat from the fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden, the fall of man occurred. And what initiated the fall of man? Adam and Eve decided to believe the serpent of old, or Lucifer's lie, that they would become like gods. Gods. They would become like gods if they ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. And Lucifer said, no, no, God's lying to you. God's holding out on you. He knows that in the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, that you will become like gods. Lucifer was lying. Lucifer believes that lie because he is attempting to initiate a revolution in the last days so that he can install himself as the Antichrist and be worshipped as God and, in fact, be God by initiating a coup d'etat or revolution against the true God. And so in every lying pitch that Satan uses towards mankind, whether it's communism, Marxism, humanism, transhumanism, or whatever, notice as you read the wording regarding the various lying offers or lying presentations of the devil, notice that over and over again, Lucifer promises men and women that they will be like gods the same lie that Lucifer gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And communism, Marxism, transhumanism, it's all rooted, it's all based on this constant lie that through man's knowledge, through man's technology, man's so-called wisdom, genetic engineering, artificial intelligence, or whatever, through some man-made scheme, one way or another, man will be able to become like God or to become a God. And that is a total, total lie. And that is the ultimate deception that exists in the heart and mind and the sinful nature of every man and woman. And the only way you get rid of that sinful deception is you repent of the sin and ask to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and invite Christ, surrender your will to the will of Jesus Christ and pledge in your heart to serve and worship God as the only true God. And you don't worship yourself. You worship God as the only true God. You look at the lives of these men who believed they were God, like Adolf Hitler, and they died insane because the occult powers that they surrendered to ultimately begin to tear at and ravage the very ones that are attempting to exploit the satanic and occult powers. So the entire Luciferian scheme for a global world system is rooted in this fundamental lie by Lucifer or Satan. Satan is the father of lies, that men and women can be gods by some kind of technology or science or occult power, some kind of effort of their own human nature. They can transform themselves into gods. And that is the massive lie by which Satan is deceiving the world now, even in our time period. And as you dig deeper beneath this civilizational event, you see what is driving things like the civilizational event is the tragic fact that the elite of this world, who believe they are gods, are failing miserably due to their selfishness, their sinful human nature. They're failing miserably, and they're not bringing about a heaven on earth. They're bringing about a hell on earth. That's why the whole thing is shaking, and the signs of the times are exploding, just like Jesus Christ warned they would be in the last days. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Paul McGuire, and I want to thank you for listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Be sure, while you're listening, go to the social media app you happen to be using, whether it's Rumble or Brighteon or whatever it is, and make sure that you join or follow by clicking the button listed on your social media app that you join or follow the Paul McGuire Report. It's critical that you do that if you support what we're doing. That way, we can do an end run around their rigging system, which is just a lying system. And make sure that you go to paulmcguire.us and electronically get our Paul McGuire prophetic e-blast, which only those people who sign up for it can get it. And you can get it for free. At this time, it's for free at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Remember, knowledge is power.